greet some people around you, high-five them, scratch their backs, massage their shoulders, give them a squeeze, something like that to make them feel at home. Cool bananas. Thank you so much. You know, I'm actually disappointed in Louis and Darren this morning. I really am, because they're standing under the mistletoe and they don't even kiss each other. That's like so wrong, eh? We ask that you just please keep Louis in your prayers, traveling to Belita, but also his motorcycle was stolen on Wednesday, man. So it's not pleasant. We just trust God for sevenfold restoration there. It's not, you know, people say arts are good, but it's still, it's not nice for that to happen. So just bear with him, lift him up in your prayers. We'd appreciate that. Folks, we're not going to go into the theology of whether it's Jesus' birthday or not. We know that it isn't in all probability. He was conceived at December time and then born in September. But be that as it may, it is good for us to choose a time when we celebrate the fact that Jesus was given to us. And this message this morning for Christmas tomorrow, however you celebrate it, whether you have a tree or you don't have a tree, or you give presents or you don't, or you send cards or you don't, the fact is that Jesus Christ is a gift, and this message is called The Gift of Jesus. And allow me this morning for a few minutes to speak to you about Him. Is that okay? It's called The Gift of Jesus, and we're going to read that account in Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 to 14. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. And this is the first census taken when Quirinus was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Yours is coming soon. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Father, we thank you that we can get together as your family this morning, brothers and sisters in Jesus, and celebrate you. We don't care what the world says. It does not change who you are. We don't care what the world believes. It does not change who you are. We thank you that we can celebrate you this morning. Holy Spirit, work in our midst this morning and give us a new revelation of what it means that Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. It's so fitting that Jesus came into the world like he did. He should have been born into the most royal palace building that mankind could ever make. But he was born, he was laid in a place where animals get their food. The bread of life was laid, that we could partake of this. And they celebrated him because of the prophecies that were foretold of how Jesus was going to come. And they knew that this is the Messiah. And they celebrated him and honored him. But folks, today we have more reason to honor Jesus than what they had. Because there they honored Jesus and he hadn't even done anything yet. We today can honor Jesus with the history and the record that he has of the miracles that he performed, of his death and his resurrection and fulfilling those prophecies. We can celebrate him because all of you here this morning, I trust, can know and celebrate and say, this is what Jesus has done in my life. We can celebrate the gift of who Jesus is. And it's interesting to note, a lot of people don't recognize the deity of Jesus, meaning that they don't believe that he's the Son of God. But hardly anybody doesn't believe that there was a man called Jesus who walked this earth and done some incredible things, got a following of people. The secular history of the person called Jesus Christ can be denied by so fewer people than those that deny his deity. Jesus Christ is indeed the gift that God has given to us. So Christmas is a time of giving, however you celebrate it. So let's celebrate and reflect on God's greatest gift to us, his Son Jesus. The most incredible way that God has shown love. Think of the ways in which God has shown love. How has God shown love? John 3:16. For God so, that he, that's how he showed us his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's greatest expression of love was to give us Jesus. While knowing the entire narrative, the entire story, the entire process of how it would unfold, that Jesus would be subjected to the hands of man, that Jesus would be subjected to a brutal, brutal death, that Jesus would be subjected to being rejected by his own, that Jesus would be subjected to being denied by those that had pledged their loyalty to him, that Jesus would be subjected to being abandoned at the cross, left on his own in his hour of greatest need. His circle of closest friends were nowhere to be found. And yet God still gave Jesus. If you have to save up a long time to afford a very, very expensive gift for somebody, and you knew that as soon as they received that gift, they would jump on it, smash it, break it to pieces, throw it out of the window, drive over it with a steamroller, would you still give the person that gift? I think you'd think, nah, it's, the person's not going to appreciate this. Essentially, that's what God did. Knowing that his Son Jesus will be subjected to the hands of man. And you think, well, you know, imagine the guilt that is on the hands of the Roman soldiers that did to Jesus what they did. Think of the guilt that's upon them. But what about us this morning? What about the guilt that's upon us for our sins that Jesus has borne? So that you and I can sit this morning guiltless, guilt-free, justified. You know, are you justified when you've repented your sins? Repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you? You know, are you justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the price that Jesus has paid. God's greatest expression of love was to give us Jesus while knowing the entire narrative of Jesus' life, his birth, his life, and his death here on earth. This is the greatest way of showing love. John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Think about that. If I have to ask you a question and don't raise your hands, are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to die for your faith? You don't have to raise your hands. Just think about what your answer would be. Now, I want to ask you this question. Are you willing to live for Jesus? Are you willing to live out your faith and testify to others? In the circumstances in which we live today, in the world in which we live today, are you willing to do that? True story, you may have heard it before, but you're going to hear it again. A church service was being conducted. They were celebrating. And masked armed gunmen came in with automatic weapons and said, those of you that are not willing to die for Jesus, leave now. And several people left the building. And then afterwards, they took their masks off, put the weapons down, and said, right, you people that are left are serious about the Lord. Let's have church. They wanted to hear the gospel. True story. So I wonder, what would happen if armed masked men walked into this church? Well, I can tell you what, there'll be in a lot of trouble because there are several legally armed citizens in this building. Several legally armed citizens. Now, you know what? People say, yeah, when the Oak does this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I promise you, I've experienced it firsthand. No human being is the same once you've killed another human being. No matter how brave or how much of a grensvechter you think you are, no human being is the same after you've taken the life of another human being, justified or not. So we're not looking to kill anybody. Amen. Nobody in the church said amen. Julle is 'n klomp rowwe Christene, julle hoor. Ja. Nobody said amen. Lord Jesus, help us. Yeah. So the greatest love that a man has is to lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one in this than to lay down one's life for his friends. And God knew, and God, you know, would it be, just think about this theologically, would it be fair to say that God knows what you sow you will reap? Okay, this van toepassing op ons, né? But what about him? Do you think the same applies to God? Well, it's a spiritual principle. Why shouldn't it? You know, and he can't deny himself. It's his word. Okay? God knew that there'd be consequences for giving us the gift of Jesus. What are the consequences of giving us the gift of Jesus? God knows that what you sow, you will mow. Eh? What you sow, shall you reap. What you sow, you'll mow. No, what you sow, you'll reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And that part of that verse is so interesting because people think they mock God. They're deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The deception comes in when you think that God is mocked. You know? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Church, I wonder what was God expecting to reap when he gave us Jesus? What was he expecting to reap? Seeing him, the very expression of who he is, the word become flesh to us, gives us Jesus and sends us Jesus into the world. What did God expect to reap from giving us His son. Wow. When this settled on my heart, it was such an eye-opener for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And I want to stop there. What's the Apostle Paul speaking about here? In those days, when generals were victorious, the generals were afforded an opportunity to be paraded through the main streets of the town and city to celebrate what they had done. So they'd only come back from a serious, outright victorious conquest, or when they'd taken over an enemy province. It wasn't just, you know, a little victory here or two. They clapped a few O's around. This was a major victory. The generals had an opportunity to be paraded through the streets. It was a huge problem. They were put on a glorious, highly decorated chariot. To keep them, they were dressed in special robes, special clothes to say that this general is celebrating something. To keep them humble, they'd have peasants and slaves walking at the back of the chariot, shouting all the wrongs and the sins that the general was guilty of. Just to keep the O op sy regte plek, while he was being paraded, say, look at me. What they'd also done was, those enemy kings that were captured before they were killed, they were then brought in front of the generals, laid on the ground so the generals could put their foot on the neck of the defeated enemies. That's what's going on here. So the generals would be paraded in victory. And Paul is saying, this is the kind of victory that Jesus does with us to celebrate his victory, the victory that we have in Christ. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, this is what God was expecting. Through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You see, folks, Isaiah 53 describes the fact that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon his shoulders. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus was crushed so that we could experience and enjoy eternal life. And when the crushing and the pressing and the persecution of a Christian takes place, what does God expect? Through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Think about that for a moment. We are to God the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. So what God expected, what God hoped, what God believed, not hope, believed to receive, what God believed to receive as his reward for sowing Jesus into the world was the fragrance of his son Jesus through us. That's what he expected in return. The transforming power of Jesus in someone's life makes that individual a beautiful fragrance before God. That's what that does. That's what God expected to receive. So, are we willing to allow our lives to be a godly gift to others? In this comfortable, relaxed environment, you say, yes, it's so easy, you know, this lekker hier so, ons is op ons gemak, we're comfortable, the building's air-conditioned, maybe you're not hungry, you've had a thick breakfast, or you're waiting to go and feed your pa hole now, six love, as you start, like, we visited America for ministry trips, and the Americans have this philosophy, you can't eat on an empty stomach. After having a dinner or lunch or whatever, we'd leave the table, and I've never seen so much food left behind before at a table after you'd eaten. We'd put our order in, and then not long after that, the waiters would start bringing food, and the stuff would come, and I'm like, no, sorry, this was not what we ordered. They'd say, no, this is just what you eat before your food comes. That's how it is. So maybe you're looking forward to feasting like that tomorrow. I don't know, and that's great. There's a time for feasting, and then there's a time for fasting. And our time for fasting is coming in January, so stick around. So, the transforming power of Jesus, if we let him, enables us to diffuse the fragrance, the scent, the aroma of Jesus amongst the people that we come into contact with. So folks, when the pressure's on, when life is happening, what's the fragrance that comes from you? Just think about it. What's the fragrance that comes from you? Now, I don't know about you, but my favorite scent is vanilla. Something can smell like anything as long as it smells like vanilla. It just has to be vanilla. And it's difficult to find decent vanilla perfumes these days. I don't know why. They have all sorts of weird and wonderful bottle shapes and names and stuff like that. But to find a decent vanilla perfume, I personally won't wear it, but I like the smell of it, you know. But if you're that kind of person, hey, to each his own, you know. So that's what God expected. Think about what God, say, I'm sending my son Jesus into the world. This is what's going to be happening to him. But because of that, his followers, my sons and my daughters, through them, the fragrance of Jesus will be diffused among people. It is incredible. I don't know if you know the lack of feeling when you come out of the bath or come out of the shower. Yet nog nie spuitgoed aangespuit nie, but you smell lekker, isn't it? Unless you use Lifebuoy soap. I mean, even Lifebuoy soap, some people enjoy it. I'm just saying, you know, but personally, I'd rather use Dove because it's got a quarter moisturizing cream in. What if my lach nie, okay? Doesn't mean because you're rough and tough, you don't have to have calluses. I remember when I started, why am I speaking about Dove soap? Lord Jesus. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make it spiritual. Look after it. Once I started using Dove, I didn't have to put cream on my body in winter anymore because quarter moisturizing cream is in the Dove soap. Shows the power of advertising. Lord, mensen jy limit vir my bitter. I needed it. God knew what he had in mind when he gave us Jesus. So are we willing to allow our lives to be a godly gift to others? We've quoted it this morning, and you know what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world Come on, hear it. Let me hear it, church. Five of you know it. How many of you know what 1 John 3:16 says? I get the blank stares. Now tell us, Mozzie, you got the mic. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Folks, on a serious note, it's a time of giving. And after tomorrow, presents are going to be unwrapped. And it's a season of giving and a festive season. And Dion mentioned the different names. But for lots of people, it's people spend money that they don't have on things that they don't need. And once that's come and gone, what happens? Let this be an encouragement. Let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart and speak into your life. And think about the role that we play in the world that it is today and where it is going. Folks, we don't have so much to give. We've got everything to give. And His name is Jesus. Do you know what waits on the other side of your obedience? Next year, in years gone past, we've had different interesting ideas for combined care group meetings. You can relate to what I'm saying. Next year, it's going to be very, very, very different. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but expect to be challenged. Expect to be stretched. Expect to be changed and expect to make a change. So there's an expectancy upon us from the Lord for us to take what we've been given, Jesus who was broken and bruised for us, to take Jesus and start diffusing the fragrance of Him in a world where it's needed. What practical ways can you share Jesus? A simple formula and recipe for life. 3 steps. Get Jesus, live Jesus, give Jesus. That's it. Get Jesus, live Jesus, and give Jesus. There's practical ways. We sang that song this morning. You're the hope for everyone. You're the hope for everyone. The simple fact, for some people, they don't even have hope. Hulle het nie eens hoop nie. And for a Christian, our worst case scenario is having hope. Our worst case scenario. And from there, hope becomes a reality in our lives. We start living out what we have been hoping in the Lord for. So we've got Jesus to give. In this time of giving, let it not just be a time when we decorate our homes and decorate the trees in our streets and decorate a tree or whatever, or wear red or something to just get the Christmas spirit. You know, it must be a lifestyle where we just give Jesus. And you don't have to be teachy and preachy and quote chapter and verse. All you have, there's something that you've already got that you can share. Besides that, that's great. What else do you have that you can share? You've already got it. There's it. Your testimony. Your testimony. So, look, I don't know about you, but this is how my life was. And I met Jesus, and this is how it is now. Take 3 minutes to do that. 3 minutes to do that. You don't even have to take 1 minute to talk about how bad you were to the bone. Bad to the bone. Some people, they'd spend like 15 minutes sharing their testimony. 14 minutes was how bad they were. And the people in the crowd is, ooh, ah, wow, gee. 30 seconds about how they met Jesus and 30 seconds about how their life has changed since then. Flip that around. Say, you know, I was a real muhu, destined to hell, totally confused, messed up. Then I met Jesus. This is how it happened. You might not remember the date, but you'll remember the place where you gave your life to Jesus for the first time. And since then, this is what's happened in my life. This is how it's changed. I've now got a purpose. And God has done this for me. God has done that for me. You know, you've got your testimony to share. Folks, you've got your testimony to share. They might not believe when you quote chapter and verse and say, oh, the Bible has been changed by people so many times. We don't even know which translation is reliable anymore. But nothing and nobody can take away your testimony. It is yours. It is real. It happened to you. So my encouragement to you this morning and the challenge from the Lord is that the season of giving becomes just what we do as Christians. It's how we live our lives. How many of you have experienced when you're in a situation and you think about sharing Jesus and the adrenaline starts pumping, you get all nervous and the butterflies start flying? Have you experienced that? You know what that is?
That's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. That's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. It's okay for those butterflies to fly. Just let the Holy Spirit get them to fly in formation. And don't worry about what you'll say and how you're going to say it. In the very moment you need to speak, God will give you the words, because it'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you and not you with your intelligence and how clever you can be and how eloquent you can be with your words. So the encouragement is, let that giving spirit. So we spoke about it in the pre-service prayer meeting. What is the Christmas? The Christmas spirit. What is the Christmas spirit? Is it all happiness, relaxed vibe with family and the Christmas cheer? The Christmas spirit is the Holy Spirit. Let the Christmas spirit be the Holy Spirit to change and transform and get us to the place where we're willing to give our Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables us in two ways this morning, not only, but just two. Enables us in two ways to be the fragrance, to be the scent, to be the aroma of Jesus where we go. The Holy Spirit enables us to do this. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And imagine, this is the fruit of the Spirit. The smell of love, the fragrance of joy, the fragrance of peace, fragrance of patience, the fragrance of kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and self-control. The Holy Spirit enables us to do that. Only the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the other way in which the Holy Spirit enables us to be the fragrance of Jesus is to overcome evil with good. For a long time I battled with this, because, you know, I'm not a big, strong man. My muscles are round. They're round just somewhere. But when you know you're on God's side, you have a sense of, come what may, God's got this. I'm victorious, you know. So that thing of overcoming evil with good, oftentimes when you're confronted with evil, I suppose it's because, the first job I was ever paid to do, I was paid to carry a gun. Imagine that. As a cop, you know. You've got to overcome evil. You've got to... You can't go into a dangerous situation where there's armed criminals with love and tenderness, and you just can't do that. You will gaan stadig sing en stadig mars vir jou hoor. You can't do that. So how do you overcome evil with good? Sometimes you, and Ecclesiastes speaks of it, there's a time for peace and there's a time for war, you know. When people are wanting to shoot you down, you can't go there like waving flags of peace. You're going to be so full of holes, you're going to look like Swiss cheese. So how do you overcome evil with good? How do you do that? How do you overcome evil with good? And then God showed me this, and I was like, yes, Lord, why didn't I see this? I guess that's why you got it, I'm not. So let's say that the violence and aggression is taking place here, and you have to combat that with violence as well. How do you overcome that evil with good? Well, easy. When that evil is taking place here, you show love in another place. You show love in another place, and that has a ripple effect. Then you start kicking that thing in where the law of sowing and reaping, what you sow, you will reap. And where the violence is taking place, you show love. Where the hate is taking place, you show love. There are times when you're confronted with hostility and hatred and aggression that you just respond in love. Years ago, there was this lady that used to work at the Johannesburg courts. And as investigating officers, we used to have to take our dockets in there. And she was a mean, mean person. Like, really. And everybody battled with her, you know. She was already offended. She just needed a place to manifest. Okay? And it was extremely, and you know, you were at her mercy and beck and call, because you so niks reg gekry het with where your case needed to be if you didn't work through this old lady. And then one day I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a difference here. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be as friendly and as kind and as patient and as loving as I possibly can. I mean, I pulled out the maximum charm that I could. And this is how I'm going to interact with this lady. So she would be most amused. I'd come in, hello, Tony, we'll find it, and greet her friendly. And in the beginning, it had no effect. And eventually, It started to change. And eventually, this old lady and I, we were like this. It got to the stage where we hugged each other warmly. And I promise you, it transformed my entire experience. That was the first time where I really got to see that in action. Say, I'm going to act in the opposite spirit. But really, this moeilik, you know, you're under pressure. People are not grateful for what you do as a cop. It's terrible as a cop. And then you still got to go on and put up with this, somebody that's supposed to be on the same side as you. And folks, I experienced transformation. It was just incredible. It was just incredible. And you know what? Who changed first? You want change to take place? Stand on the spot. Draw a circle around yourself. And when change takes place from within the circle, change will start to take place without the circle, on the outside of the circle. So there are times where you've got to act in love with the opposite spirit. You know? And where do you experience that? Government departments, where there's no service, and there's long queues, and it's, ish, they just don't want to work, and they get paid to do a job, but you get made to feel like they're doing you a favor. Those are the places. Those are the, hi, how are you today? I hope you're having a good day. You know? Just act in the opposite spirit. You're going to see it's going to transfer. It might not work the first, second, third, fourth, third. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. So that's how God showed me. There's a way that you can overcome evil with good. When the evil and the violence is taking place, yeah, you can show the opposite spirit. You can show those fragrances, that fruit of the spirit, in another place. And it's going to have a ripple transformative effect. It's going to change the world around you. So folks, as I close this morning with the gift of Jesus, Jesus is the gift that's been given to us. Now it's up to us to give the gift of Jesus to other people. Be the fragrance of Jesus. Ladies, what's your favorite perfume? What about the rest of you chicks? I hope you use something. You know what it costs to make that perfume? You know, the higher the oil content, the more expensive that perfume is, because it's the concentrated essence of that fragrance. It's expensive, you know. You know what it cost? You know how many flowers gave up their lives? Surrendered their immaculate beauty. You know how many bees had to pollinate those flowers? Get them to... It costs something. It's going to cost you. For that fragrance, you think, well, actually, I'm a Christian. Actually, I'm a holy. And there's going to be a fragrance of Jesus around you. You know when the fragrance is going to come? When life happens. When the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you let the Holy Spirit rise up within you. And everything about the old you is crying out to pull in the wrong direction. And your flesh is... And then you just say, no, with my spirit, I make a decision. My mind acts in it. And I act in the opposite spirit. Bam! Guess what? People are going to say, hey, there's something different about this person. There's something different about this person. You know how easy it is, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of course, to preach about this. But to leave this place and to go and live it, may God help us. May God help us. Church, we love you. Thank you for putting up with us through the year. Thank you for keep on keeping on. Thank you for celebrating with us, worshiping with us Sunday after Sunday. I pray that you have a Jesus-filled Christmas. It has been said that, somebody said thank you back, bless you. There's the fulfillment of that scriptural principle where 10 people yield, only one comes back and says thank you. But anyway, I know you meant it, I could see it in your eyes. What was I going to say? Come on, man. Don't be thrown, of course, now. But, bless you guys. Closing thought. You get these memes and these posts. Put Jesus back in Christmas. Well, Jesus never was in Christmas. That's not the reason it's celebrated. But we as Christians, we choose to celebrate a time when Jesus, God's gift, was given to us. Let that be the overriding decision of your mind. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. I'm going to ask the sound guys to... Eh? Colette says there's service tomorrow. Those of you who... No, there's no service tomorrow. No service tomorrow. See you in a week's time. Those guys are going to play a song for us. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening.